Yeah, so here's the deal, Al. This is why people need to make sure that they're here for the start of the show at 9:55 every
Yep.
day, right? Because if you are just jumping in right now, we're going to get you covered. We're going to get you caught up on everything you missed, but here's what you missed. DeAndre Jordan, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, Carmelo Anthony, Frank Vogel, LeBron James, Trevor Ariza, Dwight Howard, and THT. Those are the only people that have been on the show today.
If you did miss it, make sure you tune in. Mason and Ireland are coming on after Sedano and Cap. And then also, you could always go on the ESPN app or on iTunes, catch the full 3 hours of our show. Just search Travis and Sliwa.
What's been your favorite part so far? Because we've talked to every star. We've talked to the coach. What's been your favorite part of the day?
You know what's funny? It's I said this very early on that it kind of hit me. It's like, damn, this should be a very special season. And I want to kind of emphasize that because – we've had championship teams.
Mm-hmm.
We've had championship rosters. We just had a championship less than a year ago. Trav, it's you're around some of the greatest players to ever play the game, and there's how many of them that are sitting on the same roster? So when you say your favorite part of the game or favorite part of today, it's seeing the back of Carmelo Anthony's jersey. It's seeing Russell Westbrook walk by us so casually. It's seeing even players that have been in the league for a long while, like DeAndre and Dwight and all this other, you know, I don't say it lightly. I really genuinely think this is a special season we got in front of us.
Yeah, that's wrong. The right answer is LeBron James. the right answer is LeBron James on our show. That's pretty exciting. You don't hear him on the radio all that often for him to come by. And by the way, you could tell there's a little bounce in his step too, right? That it's, I'm excited to go to work. I'm excited for the practice today. I'm excited for the game this weekend. I'm excited to get through this whole process. And look, we talked about Carmelo Anthony a minute ago about how there's nothing left for him to do in the NBA other than win a championship. There is literally
nothing
on the LeBron resume.
Call it a day. Call it a career.
MVPs, Finals MVPs, all-time scoring leader. All you know.
It's kind of funny.
All of these things.
He mentioned his kids.
Yeah.
Are a lot of that motivation that when he sees his 17-year-old and his 14-year-old go out and play, he gets hyped up. He wants to come.
Yeah.
LeBron, you can't just go see your kids play and then go be ranked top three in the world still year number 19.
And this is why I will never ever understand why there's pushback with him sometimes. And the Laker fans have warmed up to him obviously over the last couple of years, but. Listen to what he just said. This is a guy going into his 19th season who goes watch high school basketball and gets inspired to come back into the gym the next day. A guy
that was my question, too.
Yeah, that has all of these things, Finals MVPs.
It's confirmed it was my question.
It's no, I don't think that's true.
No,
I asked him the Tom Brady question. You just
But here's
about
the thing. I already brought up Tom Brady.
Uh-huh.
And then when you brought up Tom Brady again, I was like, no, that's cool. You took that idea straight from me. That's great.
You're assuming that I listen to your questions. That's your biggest assumption.
You were playing Tetris when I was asking my question.
By the way, how great would that be? Like, oh, hey LeBron, let me just finish this up for a second. I'm sending an email to my mom.
No, that's what we'll do. When LeBron walks by, we'll both ask him, hey, when we asked our question, do you remember when we brought up something? He'd be like, what the hell are you guys talking about? Media day over.
Yeah, well, look, I didn't, Emily, you kind of blew it for me right there because I was hoping that at some point today, somebody was going to come by and ask
a top priority.
It is at the Rams games. So far, we've done two Rams home games, and we are 2 for 2 in both post-game, pre-game show where people are coming by asking
so
about
as we watch, and you know, we promoted this, obviously, the Lakers media days 10 to noon. I think Dwight might be the final one who's talking in front of the media now.
Uh-huh. Nobody's enjoyed today more than Dwight Howard, by the way.
Dwight loves his media day.
Yes, he does. He's good at it.
He's very good at it. He's got that personality. And it's, you know, doesn't it feel like he – Dwight Howard, it felt like this guy probably always felt like he had a franchise on his shoulders. And since he hasn't had that over the last couple of years, he could just be himself.
Yeah, well, yes.
Just like, think about that.
You couldn't be more right. And I think this is – look, what Dwight is doing at this stage in his career, what Carmelo Anthony is doing at this stage in his career – is why I think you have optimism and many, many other people have optimism about Russell Westbrook. Now, he's not as close to the end as those other guys are.
Russell's only 32.
Right. No, he's got a lot of time left. But it's not time left on the clock. It's, hey, what else do I need to get done here? What else is important to me to do this? Because I don't know if there's a better example of somebody that embraced a new role in this league than that guy right there in Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard was one of the...
But can I tell you something?
Yeah.
You know, as you mentioned that, he didn't have a choice, Trav. He wouldn't be in the league.
Well, see, this is my fear.
Back's up against the wall. I think you don't have a choice.
You just expressed my greatest fear. You're right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly why he did it. Because he was, you know, didn't work out great his first time here in L.A. Yeah. He goes to Houston, didn't work out all that great. And next thing you know, you're bouncing around.
You're
in Washington. You're in Charlotte. You're bouncing around where you're getting close to how these things typically end. He's available, and the Lakers say, you know what, let's give it a shot. And he embraced it, and it worked, and he goes to Philadelphia, and it worked, and he's back here in L.A., and it feels like it's going to work again. But there were no other options. With other players, there are other options.
Well, here's the difference.
Wonder about it.
Here's the difference. The difference is, you know, Dwight was still getting paid franchise player mm-hmm. money. Dwight was still looked at, even when he went to some of these other spots, not his, you know, last couple of stops, he was still looked at as if we can bring a Dwight Howard in, he's going to be the best player or second best player on the team. If I told you from an importance perspective, I think Dwight's important.
Sure.
But I can name off five other players that are more important or mm-hmm. equally as important. When I say that he came to this stage of his career and he has no other choice, he really doesn't. But you're right about embracing it, because you could be Carmelo. It took him a second.
It did.
Carmelo wasn't ready to take on that role.
Until he got to Portland, it really wasn't something that he was comfortable doing. And you have to – look, there's two things going on here. We're talking about embracing that role. And the other part is some guys are more comfortable in a supporting role than in the lead role, right? That what makes Magic Magic and Kobe Kobe and LeBron LeBron is not only are they the best player, okay? Sure, I'm comfortable with everything that comes along with that. I'm comfortable with taking the shot. I'm comfortable with missing the shot. I'm comfortable with telling a teammate, hey, you're not doing enough. I'm comfortable with every television camera in the entire NBA being on me after every game and understanding that it's not a burden. This is my role in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Carmelo Anthony's had that role before. Russell Westbrook's had that role before. Dwight Howard's had it. Anthony Davis is living it right now as well. And some guys wear it better than others. And when all of a sudden that stuff goes away, and all you really need for me to do is show up and play basketball, mm-hmm. hell yes, let's go. And all of a sudden you can find a whole new lane for yourself, like I think Dwight did.
Yeah, and you know, I don't want to emphasize it as in it came out of necessity. When I say it came out of necessity, all I'm referring to is I don't think he had a choice from there. Okay, so we got some Dodgers baseball going on tonight, and something that you've been preaching here for the last, let's say, 5 days or so, mm-hmm. since the last start Bueller had, mm-hmm. you've been talking about shutting down Walker Bueller. Walker Bueller is going to start tonight. How do you feel about that?
I want to see two things. Okay. How many pitches is he going to throw, and what do those pitches look like?
119 pitches? No. He's, what do you think? I mean, you think he'll throw over 80 pitches if he's pitching well?
I hope not.
Yeah.
I really hope not. I think this is a let's get sharp sort of opportunity. And look, they're playing the Padres, who are
they're only 9 games back with 6 to play.
They're out. They're done. They're just trying to finish the season above 500, which
they
feels
won't.
Like a stretch at this mm-hmm. point. But here's the thing. Manny Machado is going to try to get a hit when he comes to bat.
Sure.
Fernando Tatis Jr. is going to try to get a hit when he comes to bat. So these guys are really good players. I want to see the sort of swings they get, because it wasn't just that Walker Bueller got hit in his last game, which he did. It was the swings. They were really comfortable swings. And I said this at the time, and I'll bring it back up again. The pitcher chased him out of the game.
Right.
Herman Marquez hit a rocket off the right field wall. That was the pitcher. I get it. He's a good hitting pitcher. It's the pitcher.
Sure.
Okay, so.
You had a 3-run lead that game.
Right.
Walked out down 5-3.
What do the swings look like? What does the velocity look like? And more importantly, perhaps, than all that stuff, is how many innings he's going to throw. Because the math is just telling you the division is getting more and more unlikely by the day. Let's make sure we're as fresh as possible going into that wild card game, going into the matchup against the Giants. Because here's the rub, Al. I don't think there's a team out there that scares me in a series. Not the Giants, not the Brewers, not the Braves, not whoever comes out of the American League. I'm good. The only scary thing left for the Dodgers
October 6th
is getting into the damn tournament.
Yeah.
That's the scary part, is getting in a tournament against a team that decided, you know what, we'll just never lose again. They win every game that they play. They've got a very good pitcher in Adam Wainwright, who's pitching really, the whole team's hot with the bats. That's the only part of the – once they get through that one-game playoff, if that's, in fact, the route that they take, game on. They're still better than everyone else they're going to play.
But that's why, last week was such a tough conversation that we were having is because I feel like that contradicts some of what you were talking about. I get what you were saying about don't start Walker Buehler. I get what you were saying about on Sunday, don't put Julio in. Trav, the thing that you just said, the biggest obstacle for the Dodgers is what? The biggest obstacle is that October 6th game, and I think that's why Dave Roberts is still trying to play out the division, which it's fair to say that with six games left and you're two back, and if it goes to 163rd game, you'll have Scherzer. Okay, I get that. It means that the Giants have to lose four or two of their next six, and it means that the Dodgers have to go undefeated. Mm-hmm. So that's why that was a difficult conversation for me to have with you, because the way you ramp up and you put that one wild card game that you think it's the biggest challenge for the Dodgers, that is the biggest concern, because, as you know, they could be out by October 7th.
Second biggest concern right now, okay? That game is the game that scares me the most, but the second biggest concern is that game.
Are these guys fresh? The number one thing,
and this is what I was trying to get at last week, and this is what I think is going to play out tonight with Walker Buehler pitching, is let's eliminate the worst-case scenario. The worst-case scenario is Buehler is running on empty. Urias is running on empty. Kershaw's not sharp. Heading into the playoffs, right? That even if Scherzer, who has basically been unhittable for the better part of a couple of months, goes right through the St. Louis Cardinals, right? And then you go in, and now you're kind of limping in. Like, I don't know, Walker Buehler hasn't pitched well in 6 weeks. What's going on there? Julio Urias doesn't look right. That you're just burning capital on these guys over the last 2 weeks when the division was really never that close to
being. They were a game back. That was the difference, is they were just one game back. And, by the way, looking at it today, I understood your point the entire time, but I think the danger that everybody feels going into that wild card game, that's why people were saying, and I kept saying, play through Sunday. See where you are. Well, you know what happened by the time Sunday came? They actually lost ground because they lost one to Arizona, and San Francisco swept the Rockies.
Today's stat hero of the day is hopefully Walker Buehler. We're going to need to see some good stats.
Absolutely.
Tonight, whether it's 96 miles an hour, whether it's a bunch of swings and misses or strikeouts, but perhaps innings pitched is the most important.
And because, a W.
I think that's less important. Look, the Giants play Arizona and San Diego, okay? You couldn't ask for a better setup than this coming in.
By the way,
for them,
this is, you know, big news too. Brandon Belt, broken left thumb, status unclear for San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, you've kind of mentioned this, how everything has broke right for the San Francisco Giants.
Baseball gods.
This could be one of those that, you know, obviously is a huge, huge loss for the for San Francisco.
More often than not, you go through a season and you get a few and you don't get a few.
Things even themselves out.
You just kind of get a break here and there that a guy gets hit with a pitch and you think he has a broken wrist. Turns out it's just a bruise. He's fine.
Sure.
You get good news.
162 games, all these players.
All
right.
Of these things happen. And the Giants have more or less gone through, what do we got, 156 games with nothing but good news, more or less.
So status
so
unclear.
Who knows, right? And if he's got a broken thumb, I mean, try swinging a bat with a broken thumb. Good.
Yeah.
Try hitting Max Scherzer with a broken thumb. Mm-hmm. Good luck with that. So maybe these things are starting to even out. I don't know. Maybe the baseball gods are saying, look, this is the Giants' year. They're everything that needs to break their ways. Put a new guy in there that hasn't played all season. He hits two home runs.
You know,
who knows what?
You know, it's funny. On Friday, before they started their series against the Rockies, you and I mentioned to you, I said, every time something happens against the Giants, remember on Thursday they lose in 10 innings against the Padres and Dodgers come back, two outs, nobody on, Mookie, Seager, Trey Turner. And I said that every time that the Giants back are against the wall, so far this year they found a way to come out of it. What happened in the next three days? They gained another a game on the Dodgers.
In arguably the most challenging place to play in all of baseball.
So they've been consistent, they've been unbelievable, which reminds me of, you know, just kind of sitting out here on a basketball court. I might be 50% from the court. I said 45% earlier. I'm just, now that things are starting to clear out a little bit, it's starting to look a little more promising.
With that in mind, I'd like to redo today's stat hero of the day is Alan Sliwa, who would shoot exactly 4.5% from behind the three-point line. Stat hero, the exclusive daily fantasy app partner of the Trav and Slee show. Stat hero is the first ever daily fantasy sportsbook that gives the player the advantage. Go to stathero.com/710ESPN for 300% back on your first place.
You know what we got coming up?
300%. event.
You know what we got coming up? By the way, that is the great thing. Every time you do set it up, you get a little credit here. So then you start going, I know you don't need any extra funds in that account.
I was going to say, I don't have to cash out here before too long. I'm just, it's the phone is getting heavy. There are so many winning credits in this phone, I can barely drag it around anymore.
Do you walk around kind of saying, like, winning gets boring sometimes?
I mean, it beats the alternative. Me, Al, I like winners.
Sure.
I like teams that win, people that win. It's my personal preference.
Okay, you know what we got coming up?
What do you got?
I've been waiting for this review for a very long time. Michael Funches. We like to call it Bunch of Funch.
Uh-huh.
This weekend, watched the movie that just came out on streaming, I don't know, 40 years ago. He watched The Godfather. So when we come back, we're going to finally get his review of The Godfather.
Okay.
By the way, I'm not even sure if he watched The Godfather. I just know he sent us a picture as if he was about to start the movie.
Yeah.
And we'll just have to wait when we come back. So we get a chance to get Bunch of Funch coming up next. Stay right here. Travis and Sliwa Show, live from Lakers Media Day, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Of course, it is Lakers Media Day, Al, but that doesn't mean that we still don't do the things that we need to do.
A bunch of funches. I heard AD talking to Westbrook about it.
Hey, Russ, you heard this bunch of funch thing?
Are they doing it in the 12 o'clock hour? Because then I could
just. They're probably back in the locker room right now. Everybody's getting ready to listen to it.
Are they wondering if I watched The Godfather?
There you go, Funch. So, all right, let's start right there.
Yep.
Did you watch it?
I did watch it, guys.
Funch, that's not a good start. There's a delay there of 38 seconds. Okay, so you watched The Godfather full thing. What day did you do it? I need a setup.
Okay,
was this on Sunday?
Here we go, guys. I was sort of procrastinating all weekend on it.
Sure.
Yeah. So HBO,
as one does, getting ready to watch
one of the top five greatest movies of all time.
HBO did something great this weekend. They like showed The Sopranos in its entirety. So I was watching The Sopranos, procrastinating on The Godfather, and I was like, I don't want to watch The Godfather.
Bro, you're dancing. Did you watch The Godfather?
I did watch
no?
it. I did watch it on Sunday night. Sunday night when I texted you guys and I was going to start the movie, I watched it.
Okay, and so you sat 3 hours, watched the whole thing, or was there breaks? Like, give us a setup.
I you know, made a little dinner before then. I was
sausage
by myself.
And peppers?
Yeah, I wish, man. But I was by myself. My girl was gone. She was gone to a baby shower, and she was gone for like a day in San Diego. So I was by myself, and
overall thoughts.
I'll say this: it's a better movie than I previously thought it would be.
What were you expecting? This is the part that I don't quite understand.
This is
like,
so
when this movie's been out for as long as it has, everybody likes it. What were your expectations? Why were they so low?
I don't know, because when I watched it when I was in my 20s, it was just very slow for me, and it didn't get to the killing until like an hour in. So
sure.
Like no one got knocked off until like an hour in. You know,
the horse head. Though.
You know,
that was pretty early.
Luca Brasi got knocked off like an hour
Luca
in.
Luca Brasi.
Yeah,
yes.
Brasi, exactly. Got knocked off like an hour in a movie. So I was like bored watching a movie for an hour.
Okay,
but let me tell you this though.
Yeah.
I think the coldest part of the movie wasn't the killing or, you know, the deception or the lying or whatever.
I know which part.
What is it?
It's when Al Pacino's wife asked if,
not even that. Like, Al Pacino had Diane Keaton in the States, and then he kills somebody, and he goes to Italy, and he gets a new woman and marries her.
Oh, yeah. That's
that's the coldest part of the movie right there.
That's the coldest part right there, man. All right. Well, glad to
hear you get different rules.
Your review. Okay. So, are you gonna do is Godfather 2 in the mix here, or are you like, no, I'm good?
I think I might do Godfather 2, but one thing that irked me about Godfather was that it wasn't free on any streaming platforms. I had to pay for it.
Oh man, would you?
How much do I owe you? I'll give you the $6 that you had to dig in your pocket.
$3.99.
This sounds like now that we've had a chance to do this for the last week. this sounds like the greatest chore you've ever had. This did not sound like something you wanted to do. And then at the end, you're still didn't like the couple dollars came out of the account.
Given the choice, do you want to, you know, tar the roof of your house or watch Godfather 2? Funch is on the roof with hot tar and a mop.
100% in August.
I'll watch Godfather 2. I'll watch Godfather 2 if you guys want me to do another bit for Funch at the Movies or something like
Absolutely.
That.
I say listeners, put out any other movies that you
seven.
Think Funch
He's got
to
do seven for sure.
Yeah, seven and then whatever else. Listeners, put your opinions in. Yeah,
there you go. There you go. All right. What else we got? Bunch of Funch here.
All right, guys. So we know LeBron was on. You had LeBron earlier, guys. The big interview,
yes.
right? He was
yeah,
on
we
a man.
Did.
Yeah. This is
LeBron James on Travis and Sliwa.
your interview
ESPN.
With him was bigger than what the Mannings did with him last night on ESPN2.
Well, obviously.
When the subject of him and playing pro football is brought up, LeBron said this.
Jerry Jones offered me a contract. Also, Pete Carroll did as well in Seattle during our lockout time. And it definitely got my blood flowing again, got my mind racing again, thinking about the game of football, you know, being out there on Sundays. But, you know, we was able to get a deal done in the NBA, and I was back on the court in no time. But I definitely thought about it. I still got the jersey, too, that Jerry and Pete Carroll sent me from 2011.
Now, can you guys imagine 6'8", 290-pound LeBron James going across the middle and getting a jumping pass from like Russell Wilson or Dak Prescott or somebody, right?
Yes. If the question is, can you imagine it? Yeah. Absolutely can imagine it. You know, I think of Trav, we talk about this all the time. Talk about guys that played in multiple sports.
Sure.
We might talk Bo Jackson, Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of tie-ins between NFL players that played basketball.
Antonio Gates,
yeah. Julius Peppers.
Sure.
There are guys that did it. LeBron would be posting guys up in the end zone. He'd be posting them up. It would be literally just throw a lob up to him.
LeBron James could be whatever he wanted to be as an athlete. If he wanted to play football, he would be Rob Gronkowski, only more athletic and bigger. I mean, take your pick. If he wanted to do it, that's what he'd be.
I don't know. Seeing him up close today, I was like, I don't know if I'd draft him. I don't know if I would put him in the
He looked all right.
Who is the greatest two-sport athlete of all time, then?
I think it's Deion.
Deion for me.
Yeah, I think Bo is the obvious answer, I think, because Bo was going to be, you know, maybe an NFL MVP, and Bo was going to be – wasn't a Major League Baseball All-Star. But we know Deion's in the Hall of Fame in pro football and should be. I don't know if anybody understands how good of a baseball player Deion Sanders was. He wasn't just a guy that played in the major leagues. Had he been a full-time baseball player, he would have been a multiple-time All-Star. He was an amazing,
so ridiculous.
Would he been close to a Hall of Famer? Would he been close to a Hall of Famer as a baseball player?
I don't know. I don't know. It's hard to tell, but I would be stunned if Deion Sanders wouldn't have made 5 or 6 All-Star games as a Major League Baseball. He could run. He could hit. He could cover his position. He had a really good throwing arm. Deion Sanders was a remarkable baseball player.
Funches, corner 3 right here. How many out of 10 am I hitting? Trav doesn't have a lot of confidence right now in my corner 3, which is the hardest 3.
It is the hardest 3.
Even though it's the shortest 3.
You might hit the edge of the backboard.
Okay, that's
Paul
it. All right, keep going. Keep going.
He was hoping for like a quick 4
or
something
man, You're not hitting one. I don't think you'll hit one. Dude.
It's a long way.
This guy said side of the backboard. He didn't even attempt it for me to miss.
I don't think you're rimming it, man, so... Sorry, guys. On Sunday, I was watching football, and I see an ad for Pizza Hut's Detroit-style pizza, and then today I'm on Twitter, and I see the same thing, and now I'm dying to try it. I usually don't get specialty pizzas, but I've been reading about this new style pizza sweeping the nation, the Detroit-style pizza, which is a rectangular-shaped pizza with a thick crust. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not a deep-dish guy, though, but I think I can try it just to get down with the pizza. But I'm not a knife and fork pizza guy. That's something that you usually use for a deep dish pizza,
true.
Right, guys?
True. Sure. Yeah.
So with pizza, we have the thin crust, New York style, deep dish Chicago style. We also have the wood fire style,
yep.
Neapolitan pizzas. I've also heard of the Greek pizza, which is like a spongy, airy crust. With those options in mind, what's your favorite style crust, Mr. Foodie of the show, Travis Rogers?
Well, there are only a few ways that I'm going to say anything you like is fine. however you like your pizza is the right way to eat the pizza.
But you look down on people that do certain things that don't hit your criteria.
No, I will judge you if you get something wrong. I just think that this is one of the few times where there is no, like, for instance, I don't like Chicago style pizza. I just, it's not, it's too wet,
too much
loopy,
too much bread,
and too much. It's not my deal. But yeah. I get it. It's cheese, it's bread, it's sauce, it's meat, it's veg. It's still pizza. It's still fantastic. So believe it or not, my favorite time is just the traditional, just New York style pizza. That's the way to go. Fold that slice in half and go. That's the best way for me. But
that's my man right
this
there.
Is one of the few things that I'm not going to tell you you're doing it wrong.
I think he's on to something. Not that it just came out yesterday or anything like that, but there's something about every time you see any of these reviews about pizza, just the go get a New York slice of pizza and you walk out with that paper plate and you just go about your day. There's something to that.
I like the fold too, and you bite the tip off and then you have that double bite mark at the end. It's
wood
very satisfying.
Wood fire is amazing.
Sure. Sounds great.
I got to say though, I lived in outside of New Haven, Connecticut for the past 3 years.
Isn't that like the
it
capital?
Has
that's
the best
pizza capital.
In the
I heard that
States,
too.
Really?
By far. Sally's, Frank Pepe's. If you ever
She's not
get
kidding here. This is a real thing.
No, I would say anytime you get a chance to go there, go there. I did make a bad mistake the first time that I went. I don't like sauce my pizza. I'm a child. But I got a tomato pie by accident, thinking, oh, it's just, you know, tomato sauce with the pie. No, there's no cheese on it. So it was just bread and sauce. So I didn't have a great first time there, but other times that I went after that was fantastic.
So is it like a New Haven?
Is it like a thick crust or anything?
Yes.
It's like wood fired. It's essentially that.
It's not thick crust. It's a lot thinner. But I've heard New Haven is like the spot in the country, and that's only because I watch food reviews.
That I did not know that. Yeah. So that's my new thing for the day. I kind of lost consciousness for half a second when Emily said she doesn't have sauce on her pizza. Like, wait, what? Just the cheese and the meats and the veggies? That's
yes.
it?
So I essentially like
that's like a sandwich.
But it's essentially cheesy bread with better crust. That's. Again, I know that I'm a child, and that's how I choose my pizza.
It doesn't sound bad. I'm just, I mean, it sounds like a good sandwich to me, but we need some sort of, I don't want to use the word.
Lettuce on it and mayonnaise.
on a hoagie roll. Put my pizza on that hoagie roll. What's next, Funch?
Funch is still there. Funch is done.
Right. Maybe he's
sick of us. He got upset at us.
He's on the ground right now.
He
blacked out after the no sauce on the pizza. I certainly understand. All right, let's. Have I mentioned to you that LeBron James was on the show today?
He did 38 times in the last 15 minutes.
Because he was. LeBron James joined us earlier today. You're going to hear that coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we keep it rolling here at Lakers Media Day from UCLA Health Training Center. And as promised, we are joined right now by LeBron James, who is putting on his headset right now. LeBron, appreciate you coming by today. Thank you very much.
I appreciate you for having me, man. What's up, guys?
LeBron, you know, I'm curious. I was telling Travis this, and for somebody who's accomplished everything that you have, and we've got a chance to watch other athletes, Tom Brady doing what he's doing at his age, just out of curiosity, can you explain, you're a four-time champion, you're a four-time finals MVP. What's the drive every single day playing the game of basketball and what it means for you to still be here doing what you're doing at this level?
I mean, it's still burning inside me. You know, the love of the sport, the competitive side. You know, also, I'm going to be honest, having, you know, a 17-year-old and a 14-year-old who plays the sport as well and get to be with them every summer and seeing them competing, seeing them getting angry when they make mistakes, seeing they getting excited when they do something great with their teammates, you know, that get me back going again. I'm like, I can't wait till the fall. I can't wait till it's time for me to get back out there. So, you know, they definitely do a great job of keeping me going too, but I'm just self-motivated. You know, I get up every single day early to prepare for this, prepare for what's to come, and, you know, that's what it's about.
You know, you talk about you continue to learn. I saw you at the Rams game on Sunday, and Tom Brady's out there doing what he's doing and still playing at an incredibly high level. Do you look at other athletes from other sports and pull things and learn things about whether it's preparation or anything else that aren't just basketball guys but have success in other fields?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, Brady is definitely one of my inspirations. You know, and just seeing what he's able to do, you know, in year 22, you know, 40-plus, Cristiano Ronaldo, you know, Messi, you know, guys have been doing it for quite a long time and still at the top of their craft. So, you know, I definitely look for those guys and see what they're doing, seeing how they're in the pitch or on the football field, you know, and just gathering more information and more inspiration and everything from those guys because, I mean, we've been doing it for so long, but we're still, you know, at the top of what we do. So, you know, it's just very humbling to be able to have, you know, guys like that to be able to look at.
LeBron James takes the time to join the Travis and Sliwa show. LeBron, I was mentioning this to Russell Westbrook, and I'd love to hear it more from you, what he's accomplished. You're one of the most all-round players to ever play the game. And here's Russ with 184 triple-doubles in his career. For those who don't understand, can you put it in context from your perspective?
It doesn't make sense, man. It doesn't make sense. That just lets you know what type of player, the gift that he has, the determination. You know, people think it's very, you know, they look at Russ, they're like, well, you know, he's out, you know, getting, you know, 9 assists, 10 assists, 12 assists. You know, he can get 10 points. But the determination to go get 10, 12, 15, 20 rebounds. He had a 20-20-20 game.
That's ridiculous.
That doesn't even make any sense. He had a 20-20-20 game. That's like some Wilt Chamberlain things, but what would do with blocks, you know, or Bill Russell, they would do it with blocks and rebounds. He's doing it with assists, rebounds, and points. And, I mean, the guy is just electric. He's fiery. He wants to win. He only cares about winning. And I'm happy to be his teammate.
LeBron, you ever think about something like that? Like you see a 20-20-20 game and say, you wonder if one night I decided I might like to try something like that.
Oh, man, absolutely. And then I'll be thinking about, the way I'll feel the next day, I may not want to go for the 20-20-20.
AD had mentioned it that there is kind of, yes, you guys won a championship less than a year ago, but there is a chip on a lot of guys' shoulders this upcoming season. Partially has to do with the fact that you guys were not healthy and whole in that last playoff run. What's this year look like for you and just kind of getting a chance to see everybody that's on this roster? How excited are you to be a part of this upcoming season?
Well, I mean, obviously the ultimate goal is to host up another Larry O'Brien. That's the ultimate goal, but I'm a guy who lives and thrives in the process every single day. And it starts tomorrow, our first day of training camp. At 10 a.m., you know, Pacific Standard Time. You know, that's when the process begins. And we know what the ultimate goal is. And we want to, you know, try to come together as fast as we can, you know, having nine new guys and build that camaraderie. But along that way, we will not, and I won't allow us to ever shortcut the process to even try to get there. And it's all about putting the time and the commitment in it. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that.
You know, LeBron, one of the favorite things of Laker fans' pastime is to put together starting lineups, and this guy's going to play here, and this guy's going to be the four, this guy's going to be the five. Does it matter to you guys at all?
No.
Who's in which position?
No, because we have so many intangible guys. We got guys that can play so many different multiple positions. At the end of the day, what only matters to us is the win, you know, and whoever out there during crunch time, you know, is needs to get it done. You know, we got so many guys that can get it done throughout the course of a game. You know, but it's not even about, you know, the last 6 minutes. Everybody get caught up in the last 6 minutes of the fourth quarter. You know, games can be won in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter. That's when you, you know, can put the team away, and that's when you can really, you know, hit home on what you need to do to get better and better and better. So, Coach, you know, I feel bad for Coach Vogel because he has so many options he can go to. And him and his coaching staff are going to have to figure it out throughout the course of the season. But, you know, it's definitely a luxury for all of us.
LeBron, I'm curious, someone like yourself in this – upcoming season, you're going to have fans packing arenas.
Yeah.
What do you look most for? Do you like the 20,000 cheering for you, or is there something about 20,000 cheering against you? Is it maybe you kind of describe the different vibes on each one of those?
Well, it's definitely different vibes. You know, I love, you know, the 20,000 cheering, you know, the Laker faithful being there in Staples Center and, you know, being excited about what we bring to the table. But I would be lying to you guys if I said I loved it more than the 20,000 booing me. That is the
you have to get used to that, or is it just something that you liked right away?
No, I had to get used to it, man. I mean, I got booed a lot in high school. I mean, it wasn't 20,000, but I've played in front of, you know, like 14,000, 15,000, 16,000 in high school on the road, and you know, I got booed, you know, then. I definitely had to get used to it throughout the course of my life and throughout the course of my career. But, you know, that's what really brings the most out of me. I really love that atmosphere of being booed, and then you able to, you know, it almost feels sort of like what Aaron Rodgers did the other night, you know, against San Francisco. You know, you're just hearing them, and he got 37 seconds to get his team into field goal range. And they were going crazy, and he's like, watch this, and Mason Crosby just drills a game-winning field goal. That was, you know, you seen the excitement in Aaron Rodgers on that sideline. Like, you know, I know I'm from here, but everybody shut up.
We'll end on that one. LeBron, thanks a bunch.
Man, appreciate you guys. Always a pleasure, man. Thank you.
Watch you every night. Thank you.
Appreciate that,
LeBron.
Fantastic. I love it. It would have been off the board that LeBron James was going to drop a Mason Crosby reference before the end of the interview. I did not see that. Aaron Rodgers was probably in play. Tom Brady for sure. Mason Crosby just got a LeBron James shout out.
Want another one?
Yeah.
Who else got a shout out?
Hit me.
Messi.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm looking at my Twitter feed
Dude
right
hit
now.
Hit me on Twitter. Said, how hard was Travis trying to hold in his Messi voice after LeBron mentioned him?
That's from Chimichanga Killer. John Castro writes, during the LBJ interview, it was great until he mentioned Messi, and all I could hear was Trav's voice. John of Fullerton writes, yep. Trav, listening to the interview, do you regret not doing your Messi voice to LeBron when he brought him?
That would have not only ended that interview. They would have gone straight to the studio and said, why don't we just have somebody else do the show?
I strongly disagree. I think had I done it, LeBron James and I would have become best friends on the spot.
He would have respected you to a different level.
That's
like,
right.
Wow, that's amazing.
We would have been like, you know, that's you? I thought that was you.
That's
now
amazing.
That I know, you know what? I'm going to cancel media day. Why don't you and I go grab a beer real quick, and we'll get to know each other a little better. The Dump is coming up next. It's Travis Lee live from Lakers Media Day on 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Okay, Al, so I think everybody kind of understands what Media Day is. It's a chance for the guys to put on their uniforms, take a bunch of pictures that you see during going in and out of commercial breaks on TV, and, you know, you're listening to Lakers basketball on 710. Yep. They do all those sorts of things. So the assembled media gets asked a bunch
of questions. X's and O's, hard, tough questions
right.
about the upcoming season,
exactly.
of course. Put them
exactly.
on the spot.
So for our social, one of the questions that Carlo was asking all these guys that went through was, name your Laker starting five, your all-time Laker starting five. We're here at the Laker training facility, and all the Laker retired numbers are around here, and the names are just silly. I mean, there are just so many famous people.
Let's do this.
Hit me with your five.
But this is my preference starting five, my era, all that stuff.
You want to watch it? It could be your era. It could be an old. You could throw George Mikan in there if you want. You can take whoever you want.
A lot of info on George Mikan.
Yeah, okay.
This is what I would do. I would go Magic's my point.
Okay.
Kobe's running my two, shooting guard.
Yep.
LeBron's my three.
Mm-hmm.
Four is a tough one.
It is.
Because I have a very deep affinity to Pau Gasol.
Okay.
And Anthony Davis is arguably the best two-way player in the NBA.
Also true.
So that's a tough one for me. Let me skip it for a second.
Okay.
Shaq's my five. You got to understand, this is my era.
I understand.
This is my era.
Yeah.
Shaq is my five. I don't need two centers. I'm going Shaq, and I'm going to throw Anthony Davis at the four.
So you and I have four of the same guys. You have
Kareem in there.
I don't.
I don't have Kareem.
Look, with all due respect to the cap, right, and I've loved everything that Kareem has done. I think that Kareem is an endlessly interesting human being. I don't know if I've ever had more fun watching Shaq play basketball.
Shaq was my guy.
Shaq was just
demolish dudes, dunk on them, and then stare in the what used to do this. Remember this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, here's the other thing that Shaq did, and this is why Magic is my all-time favorite Laker, just number one on the list. If we boil this down to one, my hand's in the air for Magic. But Shaq had a lot of this, too. They played like they were having the time of their life. They played with an incredible amount of joy. They were ruthlessly competitive, both of them. They both wanted to win every time they came out there. But
want to rip your heart out, they do it differently.
They were just doing it with such an incredible joy that I loved that from Shaq.
I know who you have that I didn't have.
Go ahead.
Glenn Rice.
Well, yeah, there you go. It was Glenn Rice for sure.
Horace Grant.
How did you know that?
Horace Grant.
It was Eldon Campbell. I'm putting Eldon Campbell before. No, for me, and again, this goes back to generational.
Yeah.
It's worthy.
Yeah.
It's worthy.
Not arguing that.
I am a product of the late 70s and in the 1980s. So, yeah, I'm going to have Showtime Lakers on my team, too. So, James Worthy for sure.
These are, by the way, these conversations are always hilarious because people are going to come at you now and be on Twitter as if we went out of our way to piss everybody off and we're trying to.
How do you not have Jerry West on the list? Well, because there's only five spots and the Lakers have had more than five legendary players. That's how that works. But right now, Al, it's time for the dump. So we're getting closer and closer to the start of the baseball season, and with the National League, it's crystal clear. It's going to be the Dodgers against the St. Louis Cardinals in the wild card game.
It's not crystal clear, but it's very close.
It's
St. Louis will be there.
I'm
Dodgers
telling you, it's crystal clear. Waterford, Swarovski, his crystals. This is how crystal clear it is. The American League's a mess. You could have a three-way tie for this thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I'm completely rooting for chaos. Not only do I want wild card, I want play-in games to get into the wild card, double one-and-done situation.
So Emily was just explaining how it works, and I walked away even more confused than when we started. And it's not her fault. It's literally the scenario is incredibly. You can have up to five teams. You just said three-team play. Yankees are ahead of the whole thing.
Okay.
Boston is right there as well. Toronto's one game out. Seattle's a game and a half out. I don't know what you want me to do. Like I don't understand how this all works, but she tried explaining it to me 100%. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to wait till October 5th when there's a game actually being played.
Here's how it works. Somebody's going to have to play in 2 one-and-done games. That's how it's going to work. There's too much traffic right there. This is both extraordinary and a little bit sad. Jaime Jarrín, who has been calling Dodger games since 1959. Let me say that again. He's been calling Dodger baseball since 1959. The Dodgers announced today that he is going to retire at the end of next season. Mm. So one more season after this year for Jaime Jarrín. That would make 64 seasons of calling Major League Baseball.
I love that it's going to be one additional year, you know, because then he'll get many opportunities next season for people to appreciate everything that he's done. You were trying to equate this in some kind of terms.
Yeah. You ready?
Yeah.
Jaime Jarrín has been calling Dodger games. If we do this as long as he did that, the Travis and Sliwa show will go off the air in 2185. That we will be doing this show till 2185. If we stay
2085.
20, I'm sorry, yeah, 20. The 21 in the back at 2085. Yeah, no, 167 would be a lot.
That'd be a lot.
That would be over. 2085.
So I did, because Amanda's to my
Thank
right
you for
here,
fixing that.
Asked her if there's any contract negotiations, if ESPN has any interest to lock us up till 2085. She gave me a dirty look.
not yet.
Finish the show.
Yeah, we're going to need to do that. There is an E60 coming up on PTI. I'm all in on that.
Yeah, I like that.
I am all in on that for sure.
Can I tell you something? There's kind of a fascination. You know, a lot of times we want to talk to the players, or there's certain shows that have been around for a long time, but they're known for the shows. You know how interesting it is when you actually get some background on the shows? I want to know how we'll just use the 30 for 30. How did that get started? Like, you know, there's all these great 30 for 30s documentaries. How did 30 for 30 get started? Like, I think it's fascinating. PTI should be, you know, one that's incredibly interesting as well.
Well, they're not quite in Jaime Jarrín territory, but they've been on the air a long time together. It's been an incredible show that they've had. And look, I get it that athletes have stories, and some athletes are very good at telling those stories. Some are less good at it. Those two guys just holding court, talking about all the things that they've seen over the years, you can't do any better.
Well, here's a perfect example. We had this, I think it was the All-Star game of the NBA. Didn't TNT do it inside the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Like they gave the history of inside the NBA, how Barkley came along, how tough was it for Shaq in the beginning to be a part of the mix. Those are always interesting shows.
Here's something I didn't think we were going to get last night during Monday Night Football. Eli Manning double-barreled Bird in the middle of their Manning cast. Was not looking for that.
Can I tell you something? I'm doing Lakers talk, and I had my iPad to my left. The Monday Night Football was going on, and I'm scrolling through Twitter. All I saw was double birds from Erlai, and there was no context to it. I can't ask anybody what's going on. I still don't know. So what was the story behind
it? Well, they were doing the show, and he double-barreled it, and they had to come back and try to clean it up a little bit afterwards. And, you know, look, it's live TV. What are you going to do? It's sometimes these things happen, Al.
There's something very unique. When those two are doing these Monday night broadcasts, Trav, a lot of people are focused on what are Eli and Peyton doing? Who's coming on with them? Nick Saban was on yesterday. They've had these unbelievable guests in the process. It's incredible. LeBron came on yesterday.
Matthew Stafford was on last night.
That's right. Stafford was on, too.
No, I can't decide whether or not I absolutely love Nick Saban or can't stand him at all. It's one or the other because I'm a little sure that he's doing an act, that this whole Nick Saban thing is a character that he plays perfectly.
I think I lean towards I can't stand him, but I kind of like that too, and I think he doesn't care either. You know what I mean? This guy's not worried about what anybody thinks about him.
You know what today is, right? National Drink a Beer Day. Are you gonna celebrate accordingly? Are you gonna have a beer
Tuesday
or two?
Tuesday night, National Drink a Beer. Just grab a beer.
Yeah, what kind are we doing? Are we gonna do something light like a Mexican beer? Are we gonna go
IPA? You know what I forgot to tell you? I told you I was in Seattle.
Uh-huh.
You probably haven't even heard it. Mount Rainier has their own beer.
I believe that.
Fantastic beer. Just kind of came out of
home?
Nowhere.
You didn't have any suitcase room to bring your co-host back?
All I told you is that
Mount
I had a
Rainier
good beer,
beer,
and I'm not here to share it.
Very important podcast
ESPN
today.
App or on iTunes. All the interviews with all the players, AD, LeBron, Westbrook, make sure to tune in. ESPN App or on iTunes, just search Travis and Sliwa.
LeBron James was on the show today. Anthony Davis was on the show today. Russell Westbrook was on the show today. It was a great day today. You can get all of that on the podcast. Sliwa and I back tomorrow. Ask Sliwa tomorrow. Get ready. We'll see you then, 9:55.